Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. My first guest today was introduced to me by a fellow dog lover. I met my friend Dave in the park while we were both walking our dogs, and we connected over a shared love of our furry family members. He told me about Joelle Dersey, founder of Saving Sadie, and her journey of love with a special needs dog. Joelle is here today to share her story with us. I will warn you that there may be some conversation that can trigger some people with regard to animal cruelty, but I promise that the overall message is one of love, care, and faith in knowing that there are still people in this world that love animals as much as some of us do. So welcome to the show today, Joelle.
Thank you so much, Jill, and we so appreciate us being here.
You're certainly welcome. Why don't you start by telling us about your journey with Sadie? How did you find each other?
Wow, that's a story in itself. What happened was that my day job is that I am an organizational person, and I just had a stash of blankets that day to take to the shelter. I don't know why I chose that day to take them, but I did. Dropped them off. On my way out, I saw this really cute dog. And it was amazing that the dog was really outside. Normally, the dog was kept in a basement. And I said, oh, that dog's so cute. What's the dog's story? And they told me in very, very tragic detail. You see, they found Sadie in the mountains of Kentucky just a very short time ago. What happened was that Sadie was a puppy mill mother. And what happened was that when they didn't want her anymore, they shot her between the eyes, they shot her in the back, and they paralyzed her. Some strangers walking in the woods found her, took her to a vet, and somehow she was transported to a shelter in Wisconsin when I found her.
Mm. It's amazing to me that somebody would hurt a helpless animal like that. We know that it exists, unfortunately, but as I said before, we're here to really shine a light on the positive things that people do to help animals in need. So what was it like, Joelle, to take care of a paralyzed dog?
I never thought about it twice, to tell you the truth, Jill. It was just an amazing, amazing journey. In the beginning, what happened was that, I mean, in actuality, I never knew if she was going to live or die. I did not know if I was doing the right thing with her. I didn't know if I was supposed to prolong her life, if I was going to make her better. But the thing is that I'm a fixer. I wanted to fix Sadie and send her on her way. So she had so many different modalities of, let's call it repair, rehab, whatever you want to call it. But it was just an amazing, amazing 15 years that I had her.
And I bet you'd do it all over again, right?
I would do it all over again.
Well, tell us what you did. You know, what did you do special with her?
Well, first of all, we started with a cart that just did not work well at all. I wanted to strengthen her legs. So you name it, there's many, many modalities that people have never even heard of, like E-stem, Russian E-stem, water therapy, hydro treadmill therapy. I used a board custom made by my good team members that we would put her on. We used any modality you could possibly imagine just to strengthen those legs.
And did it work?
Somewhat. It did. She still had noodles. She was still never really able to stand because the bullet and shrapnel in her back were absolutely, they were noodles, and her muscles were just absolutely destroyed from those, from all of the shrapnel. And the doctors and any of the vets said I had to leave the shrapnel there because it was just massive. And it was moving around. Every time we did an x-ray, you could see the shrapnel move, causing more damage as it went.
Yeah, and you said that she was shot in between the eye, or in the forehead above her eyes.
Right between her eyes.
Yeah, and that had to stay there for a while.
It did. And what we did is we went to, right out of the gate, we went to a holistic vet who gave us a poultice to put on the bullet hole, and she was hoping that it would draw the bullet out, and it never did. So we did have to have it surgically removed.
But not right away. It was something that happened later on.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Later on. Correct.
Yeah. Well, when I first met you, after Dave introduced us, or suggested that I reach out to you, I said, I got to meet this lady who's doing this wonderful work. And we got together at Starbucks.
Yes.
And to talk about the great work that you're doing. You gave me a book. I read it. I was so moved by it. I've shared it with, it's one of those pass-on books that you read and you pass on to somebody, and you say, once you read it, pass it on to somebody else, because
yes,
advocacy and awareness is really big, right? Mm-hmm. When did you decide to write a book about Saving Sadie?
Well, I kept very copious notes because I always knew there was a story here. I mean, even the beginning of the book where you never knew if she was going to live or die. Am I doing the right thing? Should I let her go? Should I euthanize? I mean, I had no idea what the next step was. But it was, okay, I'm going to give her a week. I'm going to give her 2 weeks. I'm going to give her. And that's just how it went on and on until I fell madly in love with her. And I knew that we were in it to win it. No matter what the outlook was, we were going to do it.
Yeah, and you were willing to do whatever it took.
And I think it was such a team effort. I could not have done this by myself. I had such a great team finding resources, finding doctors, finding vets, finding rehabilitation facilities that really helped us out along the way.
Yeah, and now if someone wants to get their hands on the book, what's the best way to do that?
The best way right now is to go to Amazon. We have been in every retail store in the area. We're nationwide. In actuality, we're known in 61 countries now.
Wow.
So we have a New York publisher, Kensington. We have a publisher in Spain. And if they go to Amazon, that would be the best way to do it. We have WhisperSync, we have audiobooks, everything. So you have to read this book. You have to know also that the dog does not die at the end. So it has a happy ending.
Yay. Yeah, you've got to get your hands on the book.
Yeah.
It really is a great read. Now, so you're out there in book form. You also have a movie, a short movie. So I've watched this movie about Sadie online. Again, I recommend everybody check it out. How long did it take you to make the movie?
This took us over a year to create the movie. It's professionally produced by Bill Eisner and team. They were very kind. There are so many things in this movie that look like they're total butter, and they were so difficult to do. Lifting a 50-pound dog 100 times during one scene. I mean, now I don't have to go to the gym, and I'm thrilled.
So you can find the movie on the Saving Sadie website.
Yes, or it's on YouTube, which is Save Sadie Now.
Okay.
Go to YouTube, and it's on there also.
Okay. Well, as Joelle said, in the book, you don't talk about Sadie passing. But unfortunately, that has happened. Do you think about, or did you think about, what you were going to do when Sadie passed?
Well, here's the deal. We know it was going to be inevitable. She was 15 years old. She showed no signs of slowing down. She looked like she was 5 years old. No gray hair. There was nothing that told me, but in your mind, you know it was going to happen. So I put it out to my team members. What am I going to do next? I was not getting any of the answers that I wanted. Some people said you should just drop the nonprofit. Some people said, well, what about a blind dog, another paralyzed dog? What about any other kind of dog that had special needs? Because that's my mission, that's my calling. And during this time, I just could not accept anything that they were mentioning at all. And the answer came to me in a way that no one could have ever imagined.
Well, that's a great place to stop right there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to leave the audience hanging. And when we come back, Joelle is going to elaborate a little bit about her answer there. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm continuing my conversation with Joelle Dersey, founder of Saving Sadie. So elaborate, Joelle, on your answer about what you were going to do after Sadie's passing.
I was racking my brain. I just could not even fathom anything that was even close to what my next trip would be. So I went over to my friend's house, Kim and Mary, and who have been with me since day one. And I went over there to talk to them about it, and nobody was coming up with anything. Then, at their house, I received a phone call from a shelter.
Well, I will say that when you and I met, you had a very special someone with you, and he is actually in our studio today as well, and his name is Mr. Boots, and he has become very well known in the community. Tell us how you found Mr. Boots.
I think maybe a better question, Jill, is how Mr. Boots found me.
There you go. Okay.
What happened was that I received a phone call from a shelter, a local shelter. And they said to me, and it was right at Kim and Mary's house, which was unbelievable. I picked up the phone and they said, hey, Joelle, we know about you. I didn't know who these people were. And we heard that you've taken special needs dogs. We've got this puppy coming up from Mexico. And when the puppy was 6 weeks old, he had his two back feet purposely cut off. Would you take him? I can't tell you how fast no flew out of my mouth. Mm. I was not ready for anything like that whatsoever. So they knew I wasn't going to do it. So I hung up the phone.
Oh.
Then the shelter did something very, very bad to me. They sent me a video of this little tiny puppy walking all over the place down in Texas. And I said, okay, I'll take him.
Oh, it was all over then, huh?
It was done. It was a done deal at that point.
Well, then how did Mr. Boots get from Mexico to Wisconsin?
Well, actually, the story goes a little bit longer than that, because he was found in Juarez, Mexico, and I was told on a dusty road. A girl found him, put it on Facebook, and a woman named Diane Bustamante saw it on Facebook, said, I have to help that dog. She met the girl at the International Bridge, passed Mr. Boots over the International Bridge, and then Diana Bustamante found someone in Texas, Diane Avery, who has a shelter down there. Diane Avery took him in.
Okay.
Then what happened is that shelter got in touch with the one in Wisconsin here, and Mr. Boots was transported with 27 other dogs. And I met Mr. Boots with the transport with all my team members up in Genesee, and we found Mr. Boots there waiting for him.
Oh, now, Mr. Boots found you, right? Right. Describe a typical day in the life of Mr. Boots. Because I imagine that, I mean, I know so many dog lovers, of which I am one, but it takes a special person to be able to work with a special needs dog. So give us an idea what a typical day looks like.
Okay, in the morning. Well, truth be told, Mr. Boots sleeps in my bed.
No. They say don't do that, but it's like a baby.
You know? Oh, don't do that, but yes, we're going to do that. So he sleeps in my bed. The funny thing is that he's always got to be touching me. He's got to have a paw on me. He's got to be next to me. He's got to be something with those great big brown eyes looking right at me. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Boots likes to sleep in. He's a very, very cuddly kind of guy. So if I have to go downstairs, I'll put up one finger that say, wait for me. Then I come back up, and maybe he's still sleeping, or maybe he decides that he's going to jump off the bed now, because I'll ask him the big question, do you have to go potty? And then he always does. So he jumps off.
Oh, he didn't even raise his head on that one. He's laying here so nicely right beside us. Go ahead.
So he'll jump off the bed all by himself, and he's totally trained from day one. He is not going to take one step down those stairs before I am, because I don't want a dog to trip me. So he waits for me until I take the first step, and I'll wait the second step and the third step before he starts going down. Then he'll go to the door, and I let him outside, comes back to the door when he wants to come in. There's no chaining to any tree. There's nothing. He has free rein. Then we go to breakfast. The funny thing about Mr. Boots is because, well, you can see that you know, he doesn't absolutely need any weight on it. Well, you know, he could use a few pounds. He eats about 7 times a day, and he always tells me when he's hungry.
7 times a day?
Look at him. You can see his ribs.
Yeah.
He's a hungry guy. And he's like 42 little tiny pounds. So,
oh,
yeah, whenever he's hungry and I don't feed him enough, he's always like, Mom, more food, more food. And that's the way the day goes.
Well, and I'm sure you have many challenges, obviously, with the situation. How did you, Mr. Boots has prosthetics, you told me. In fact, when we met, he did have his prosthetics on. But I know that there's a story behind that. You know, how did you find someone to make his prosthetics?
Well, it's not as easy as just going to the prosthetic store. So what we did is I put Kim Becker on it again, and she did the resources and found all the people in the area who would do dog prosthetics. We finally settled on a person that does people prosthetics, Brian Kelsey from Kelsey Orthotics and Prosthetics. He has 2 offices here in Milwaukee. So Brian is the one that would cast him, and then we sent them up to Eau Claire. Pets in Motion, Terry up there, does all of the making of the prosthetics. And Mr. Boots right now will be on his 6th set of prosthetics.
And it's just a matter, well, much like a human, you just have to find something that's going to work, something that's going to fit right, optimize the situation, obviously help him walk better.
Correct.
And again, he came in the studio today without his prosthetics because he's got some sores on his feet you're dealing with, but he's able to get around just fine without them.
Well, I hope that people go to the website or Facebook and see that this dog, once he has his prosthetics on, you would not know anything that's wrong with this dog because he runs as fast as any dog does. Yeah.
you gotta have your own running shoes on to catch him, right?
That's right.
I see many facets to your fundraising efforts. Can you tell us what you do? Because obviously you can't do this without the help of others, as you've said, in terms of raising money. Share with us how you do that.
We have done nationwide professionally produced presentations, and we've been doing those for years. And then we do the segue into Mr. Boots. So he is now absolutely a huge part of the organization.
He's a celebrity.
Yeah, the journey continues. We do those, and we do those to schools, libraries, retirement communities. So if anybody needs a boost into thinking about what you can do instead of what you can't do, right. you have us come in. It's about an hour long or so. Very, very well received. We also do a lot of fundraising at vendor events, and we do concessions, not only in Madison at the football games, concerts, things like that. We'll be doing them at the Brewers, too, for nonprofits. And everything we do helps Mr. Boots and also other dogs in needs that may need prosthetics.
Mm. Well, the story is amazing. Again, I can't emphasize that enough for people listening. Go check it out. And you can't possibly do all this by yourself. So you did mention a number of people that you partner with, number of people who have helped you. Are there any others that you want to mention?
Oh my gosh, there's John, there's Steve, there's Kim, there's Mary, and if I leave anybody out, they're just going to be really
it's hard. It's like the Academy Awards. I'd like to thank
right, exactly. Yeah.
And Dave. You know, Dave is wonderful advocacy for you. He's the one that told me.
Yeah, he's the one that told you. And Dave just came to us in Pewaukee one day, and all of a sudden, wow, we just can't thank him enough for bringing us to you and you to us.
Yeah.
And helping us spread the message. Because our big message is all about overcoming obstacles. And all of us have special needs, but all of us have special abilities too. And the people behind the scenes, Kim, Mary, Elizabeth, there's another Dave involved. I mean, the people are just Debbie. Debbie does all the social media. There's Ellie now who helps with all of the movies, the videos. I mean, you name it. There's just tons of people, and we just could not do this without them.
And again, I think it's important to share a couple things. First of all, how can people get a hold of you? But also, if you can share one more time, how people can get the book and how people can watch the movie. And then just know, as Joelle said, there's a number of opportunities for fundraising in the community. I imagine you can just check her website and it'll outline those. But just give us one last shout out here for how people can get to you.
If you'd like to volunteer, volunteer is all about having fun. You're not going to be doing anything without having fun working concessions. That is just, I can't tell you how much fun that is. And people can get hold of us through the website, which is savingsadie.com, and that's savingsadie.com. Also, Facebook is Saving Sadie, SavingSadie. And that's where the party is. You can sign up for the newsletter. You go to the website. All you're going to get is the newsletter once a month. It's beautifully done. That's where the action is. And we just couldn't appreciate anybody enough than we do. It's those people who make the organization what it is. And they just love Mr. Boots. And Mr. Boots rewards you by kisses. Yeah. Lots and lots of kisses.
That's the best way. That's the best way. A nice big slobber kissy from your furry friend. Well, Mr. Boots, I want to thank Mr. Boots for being in the studio today, too, because he is just chillaxing right next to Joelle and hasn't moved. When she mentioned P-O-T-T-Y, he didn't even get up. And, you know, now if you mention T-R-E-A-T, I don't know, maybe he'll move a little bit. But so thank you so much, Joelle Dersey, founder of Saving Sadie. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for all the ways that you have made a difference for many, many animals over and above Sadie and Mr. Boots by just bringing awareness and helping others to understand that it takes everybody to pitch in and to do these kinds of things. So thank you for being here.
And once you read the back of the book, you'll see that I don't feel fluffy in any way whatsoever. This is just a mission. This is what I do. And I thank you, Jill, for bringing us here.
You are absolutely welcome. Wow. Again, awesome story. You've got to check it out. I certainly think that dog lovers stick together. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
We all want to do whatever we can to help a dog in any number of ways. So stay tuned, because in our next segment, we're going to hear about another organization that does just that in their own unique way. We'll be right back after our short commercial break.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest is Kristen Wilson, founder of Billy's Posse, a lost dog search and recovery organization that assists owners in finding their missing dogs. Welcome to the show today, Kristen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So why don't we start by you telling us how Billy's Posse started?
Well, the kind of funny thing there is it wasn't something planned or expected or even previously thought of until the moment that something happened, and it was a dog named Billy that went loose in my neighborhood and ended up March 1st making his way up to a park by my house, and I started tracking him, and I found him literally curled up in a ball on the edge of a cliff. Mm. And luckily something inside me told me, don't move. And his little head popped up and I'm like, please don't jump the wrong way. And I turned my back and just sat up against a tree and took out the heated brat slices I had, offered them to him, and he thought about it for a second and jumped up the right way, thankfully. And then he took off. And I was tracking him. It was the last snowfall of the season, so I was tracking him. And I don't even remember how I connected with his owner, but I connected with her and was like, if you need any help, you know, just let me know. And she's like, just let me know if you see him. Well, we took our dog for a walk through that park all the time. So we would look for tracks and whatnot, and I'd reach out to the owner periodically, and she'd reach out to me, have you heard anything? We did a search party, or rather I did. I did a search party. I had a bunch of community people come out and help with that, and we found out that he just kind of walked all around us out the other way from where we were, and learned a lot of things that you should not do, and I was doing everything you should not do. She was working with another organization called Retrievers of Minnesota, and when we found out that he was eating at my friend's property on the other side of the park, we built this trap called a Missy Trap and put it in his yard, and we were able to trap him a month to the day. Mm. So Billy was saved, and I don't know why I had to go out and help, but I did, but I was hooked then.
I bet. I can understand that. I mean, what was it that made you want to start a nonprofit, though, that offered this service?
Well, I started doing it as a hobby, helping people after I had learned so much of what not to do. It was like, you know, people, they want to chase after their dog right away, and that's the first thing that you don't want to do. It's difficult not to. It's almost instinctual. So trying to let people know, you know, what they should not do, or some things that I had learned that you should do, started just doing it as a hobby. And then I ran into who is our assistant director and co-founder, Pam Avery, out on a search, and we started doing it together. And some of the people from the search party that I did for Billy, we did it as a hobby together. So when we realized we were needing traps, trail cams, you know, and any other equipment, the bait and things like that, it was starting to get expensive when you think of what you're going to be needing and how much help was needed out there. And the husbands were like, no, we're not paying for all that.
Right. No, so I understand that.
We're servicing the community. Let's ask them if they want to help us. And they did.
Which I think when you ask the community to step up, 9 times out of 10 they do, which is awesome. You know, talking, you mentioned that, you know, there were a number of people that needed your help. According to the Animal Humane Society, there is an estimated 1 in 3 pets that'll go missing in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right.
It's one in three. Sad statistic.
It is. This equals about 10 million missing pets each year in the United States. And unfortunately, many of those pets won't make it home. Mm-hmm. I experienced this nightmare 5 years ago, and I would not wish it upon my worst enemy. The stat is so sad. What are some of the reasons why this happens, do you think? And why is an organization like Billy's Posse needed so much?
Well, there's any number of reasons as to why it could happen. You can get complacent thinking you know your dog. They're well-adjusted. Not knowing this one thing that's going to spook them or situation is going to come up because you cannot predict everything that could happen. The child leaving the door ajar, the leash not letting the door close all the way, you know, just not realizing that that's that way, or the gate didn't latch. A new dog that you bring in, whether, you know, you rescue it or get it from who knows where, a friend or anything, and the dog's kissing you all the way home. You think the dog loves you and everything's good. Well, that's not the case. The dog's scared. They don't understand, and they're trying to find reassurance. And then, without being aware that that's what's going on, the dog takes off first chance they get.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different reasons.
And you had mentioned before that there's always that ever crafty husky that'll always find their way out no matter what you do, right?
Yes.
And I think it's important to say, too, because I didn't realize how prevalent this is, that, again, it makes me so angry, but unfortunately there are people out there that steal dogs.
Yes.
Why somebody would want to do something like that escapes me, but they do. Mm-hmm. We think that's what happened with our girl Livy. But there are a number of reasons, whether it's accidents, complacency, you know, the people think they know their dog. So tell us then, you've said that there are reasons why Billy's Posse's services are needed so much. Tell us what exactly you do then to help owners or loose dogs.
Well, the first thing that we do is that we reach out to owners when we see a lost dog post on Facebook, next door, Ring Neighbors, and we will immediately share specific steps, giving them a clear outline and guideline as to what they need to do to start getting those leads sooner than later, getting scent items out, getting flyers done, and there's organizations online that they can do that with that do them free. Another organization that is in the state of Wisconsin that is a big help with that, and we recommend their flyers, is Lost Dogs of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They have the cleanest, easiest to read flyer. So getting those out in the community right away so that people have their phone number when they see their dog. If they need our help, at the bottom of those steps is our phone number, letting them know that we are a free public service and we're here to help them. So we reach out with the steps. If they reach out to us or somebody that they know reaches out to us, then we're there and we're communicating with the owner, guiding them and helping them in any way that they need us to with those steps to get those leads in. We also will get out trail cams and bait, and if necessary, a trap to trap their dog if they're too skittish. And if they've been out too long, they go into survival mode and you're not going to get them with your hands. And that's when it's necessary to trap. Also with new adoptions. They don't understand these people, what they want with them. They don't know where they are, why, anything. They typically need to be trapped. So we go from giving steps to trapping, whatever is needed.
And I think it's really important to understand how important it is to reach out to somebody when you're in this situation, because I remember for me, I was lost.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. And I had a very good friend, Amy, come alongside me who had been through this before. And she said, you need to do this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And so having somebody like Billy's Posse that has been through this, they know what to do. And like you said, what not to do is so important. So understanding that this resource exists is so important. There's one particular case that we wanted to highlight for a number of different reasons. So stay tuned to learn more about how Billy's Posse helped one particular woman trap and capture her loving fur baby, and then what the result of that connection was. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by the Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And I'm talking in our last segment today with Kristen Wilson, founder of Billy's Posse. Kristen helped a woman who was in a terrible situation with her fur baby missing. Again, as I said, I've been there. I know how totally messed up it can make you. You can't think straight. Your emotions are all over the board. If you want to hear my story, you can search out the Lost Dogs of Wisconsin and Wisconsin Humane Society interview. I believe it was back in 2019. But let's have the woman that Kristen helped join our interview. Welcome to the show, Angela Hart. Thanks for being here to share your story.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So what happened, and how did Billy's Posse walk alongside you?
Well, it was November 26th of 2024, and that was the day that my life took a screeching halt for 11 days. I'm going to get emotional.
It's okay. I understand.
I have a 15-pound Dash Hound and an 80-pound American Bully. And one day I let them both out. I was about to walk out the door, and I said, let me let the dogs out to go to the bathroom. Literally 2 minutes, I looked outside, and my American Bully was standing at the door, and my Viola, my Dash Hound, was nowhere to be found. I went outside. I was looking all over. And I'm like, did I really let her out? Where is she? She never leaves the yard. I went through the house screaming her name, couldn't find her, went back outside, still couldn't find her. We do have a fenced yard. That was more to contain our American Bully. Viola never left the yard. She was 2 years old, never once left the yard. So I wasn't too concerned about her getting through the fence. But I couldn't find her, so I ran outside. You know, I ran out of the fenced area, went down the street looking, and then I couldn't find her, and I knew this wasn't good. So I ran across the street to a neighbor, asked her if she had seen her running anywhere in the neighborhood. She said no. She said, let me put this on Nextdoor right away. So she put it on Nextdoor, and maybe 10 minutes later, we got somebody that down our street that said, we just seen her take off down your street, cross over 27th Street, which is a very busy street.
Yeah.
So we are out looking. And later that day, another post on Nextdoor said that she was seen on 41st and Ramsey. So she was all the way across, you know, this was about a half a mile down from where we live already. So she was running, and she is fast, and she does not like people. She's very anxious, skittish. So that day, I think I drove for 12 hours straight in the neighborhood looking for her. Went home, slept for maybe two. I couldn't sleep, really. Got up, did it again the next day. It was like 3 days in when finally somebody had said something about Billy's Posse, which I never knew even existed. To be honest, I never knew any dog rescue groups existed.
Because you didn't need them before.
I didn't need them.
Right.
Wasn't concerned. So then after 3 days of no sleep, not eating, me and my family, you know, we're devastated. We're looking for our baby. This is literally our child. I don't think people realize until they have a dog that this is your child.
I agree.
So then I got them on board, and as soon as they come in, they had a plan. They were telling us, okay, we were doing everything wrong. We're running everywhere. Over where I live, there's a big park. It's Grab Schmidt Park, where there's a lot of coyotes and things like that. So we were freaking out. But we were going through this park because somebody said there was a sighting over there. So me and all my kids went through this whole park screaming in all different directions, yelling her name. And, you know, Billy's Posse came in, had a plan for us. Number one, flyers. You got to get those flyers out there, because if people see, they know, you know, hey, I saw this dog on this flyer. Let me call. Ring, got her on Ring. They got the drones out. And we had a plan. They put signs out, big signs. And we just had to wait. we had to wait because there was like 3 days we got no sightings. And then we got another sighting. And they said, just wait. You know, it's hard for us because we want to go out there and start looking as
and
soon as we
get
a sighting.
The longest days of your life, I imagine.
Yes. And so then she got comfortable in an area. So Billy's posse told us that dogs get comfortable in an area. And we just have to wait until we see her in certain spots. Then we can put up traps. So that's what we did.
And you
so
eventually...
we seen her on a, yeah, this was, it was 11 days. So on a Monday, we were able to put a trap because we know she was circling in one certain area because they tend to stay in a certain area where they feel safe. We don't want to chase her because we don't want to run her out of that area. So right. They will find food, water, shelter in that area. And we and at night we'd see her one area, and in the mornings we see it on another. So we would trapped on both sides. And then on the 11th day, we finally got her in the trap.
Mm. And I imagine ever since then, you're a hawk's, you got a hawk's eye on.
Well, ever since then, we now have GPS trackers on both our animals.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that if you can afford it, GPS or AirTag, something.
Yeah. Well, what was the result then of this whole experience you had with Billy's posse?
Well, I felt like I really pretty much owed my life to them. Mm-hmm. That I didn't, they didn't expect anything. They didn't want a penny. They just said, this is what we do. I had to give back in some way. So I wanted to volunteer because I know what it feels like to lose a dog.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be there for other owners so they understand that I understand their, you know, and I have that empathy for them.
And so,
and to teach them the right ways to do things that Billy Posse's has taught me, because without them, I don't know if I would have ever gotten her back.
Yeah.
So.
And so because of that horrible experience, that pain, you were able mm-hmm. to turn it into a purpose now. And we talk all about that on the show, people using their pain and turning it into purpose. And we don't want to downplay anybody's adversity or challenge. But again, we're here to shine a light on the positivity piece. You know, that I went through a horrendous situation. Angela, you went through a horrendous mm-hmm. situation. Thank you, Lord, that yours was had a great ending. Mine did not. But as tough as it is to talk about it, I still will sing the praises of the people that helped me, because mm-hmm. I could not have made it through that time, quite honestly. And I agree with you that if people are not animal lovers, or have never been through the situation, they can't quite possibly understand.
Yes.
Kristen, what's next for Billy's Posse?
Oh, we have all kinds of good things happening. So what we've been doing is we've been partnering with a great gentleman, Leonard Gums, who brings out his drone, and he helps in the searches with that. Well, we've got our own drone now, and we've got the Mac Daddy we're pretty proud of. We had some amazing donors jump up to help us and help us procure this. So some of us have to get a pilot's license, but we're working on that, so we've got that. But then we also have a new team in Waukesha, and they are Southern Waukesha County Canine Search and Rescue Group, and they have the tracking dogs and even one that naturally knows how to lure out skittish dogs.
Really?
So yeah, Holka's an amazing dog. So we've got them helping us in Waukesha, but we also recently started a pet festival in Racine. It's the last Saturday of September every year. So you can look up Bark in the Park Racine. We're on all the socials. And that is just a good time. We do a free microchip clinic there. We're doing some out in the communities throughout the year now, too. We are even partnering with some other festivals to bring the microchip clinics there. And we cover the registration and the microchip. Lifetime registration, so the owners don't have to worry about it if they move or need to change their number. They're not going to be charged. So donations help with that as well. And getting more equipment so that more of our volunteers are even better stocked with what they need to be more efficient out in the field.
Okay. So. Well, I cannot say enough about organizations like Billy's Posse.
Thank you.
I think it fills a, well, we heard the stat, you know, mm-hmm. it's very sad, but there are people that are trying to change that stat. So for people who want to get a hold of Billy's Posse, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can go to billysposse.com. It's B-I-L-L-Y-S. Or just Google Billy's Posse. We're on all the socials for that, as well as our festival. And something to share about the stats. We are proud to say that we helped 144 dogs last year.
Wonderful.
So
144,
and that's just
very
in,
happy families,
just
sure.
in southeast Wisconsin.
And yeah. I did assist with a couple of those.
Yes, she's great. Been a force.
That's great. Well, I want to thank my guests today, Kristen Wilson, founder of Billy's Posse, and Angela Hart, volunteer for Billy's Posse, and Joelle Dursay, founder of Saving Sadie. Both organizations, I thank you for your focus, your effort on saving our beloved fur babies and reuniting them with their families and just taking care of them when they need somebody to take care of them. So thank you all for sharing your life's passion and helping others who are at their wits' end and don't know what to do. Thank you for coming in and saving the day for so many people and their beloved pets. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Saving Sadie or Billy's Posse using the contact information that they shared in their segments. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for our show, or if there's a particular topic that you'd like to learn more about, please reach out to me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference in our community in their own unique way. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. And I encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. My call to action is to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's a person or an animal. Our guests have shared today the ways that they make a difference for others. Now you need to find out how you want to make a difference and have a significant impact in your own unique way. Sit down for a self-reflection time to think about what's important to you. Find out what makes you tick, what gets you excited, how do you want to make a difference, and in what way. And then go out and do that, whatever it is, whether that's donating, volunteering, advocating for an organization that resonates with you in some way. Maybe you want to start your own nonprofit. Whatever you do will be so appreciated. So figure out what it is you want to do and then go out and be a blessing and give a blessing. Thank you for listening today and have a great day.